This is the national public broadcast of Imam W.D. Muhammad. So the moral life of Jesus Christ was kept intact, as the scriptures say, without spot or blemish. A lamb without spot or blemish. Lamb means a peaceful, loving person. Not a vicious person, not a person moved by anger, but a person peaceful like a lamb. Yes. So God rewarded him with guidance. God taught him. They educated Jesus Christ from a child. Our holy book says that he spoke while he was yet in the cradle. We speak of the cradle of civilization, don't we? Well, cradle also means beginning. But it doesn't mean he was in some little thing we made or his parents made, a little box or something they made with baby diapers on, crying and written on himself. No, he was in the cradle of his human development. That was the cradle. He was in the first stage of his human development, in the cradle of his human development. And even in that first stage, on that first level, where he could not rationally pick out things and debate things, he was not able to do that yet. He had not been educated to that extent. But he felt with his heart and his soul, he felt what was right and what was wrong. And he spoke as a baby in the cradle. And he would say, God does not like that. God would rather have us go this way. Huh? So he was a leader even in the cradle. He spoke and he was a leader even in the cradle. The first level in the flesh connects us with the material world and our own material life. It drives us to want to take care of our hunger for food, water, for a beautiful place, a surrounding to live in, to have our wives taken care of, so they don't worry about how the baby's going to eat. That's the first level. And eventually, doing that, the man produces so much that he got more than enough for his family, and he joins hands with another man and another man and another man, and pretty soon they build a city in time. They build a city, and they have industry. All of that came from Adam in his flesh nature, in the nature of his mortal life. All of that came from him. But they were not able to get true sciences. They were able to have science, because by experiment, watching what God did, one story is like this, a man observed lightning striking a forest and setting the forest afire. When the fire subsided, there was no more fire, it all had gone out, the same people went back into where the woods were, now they're gone, they burned out, and they discover metals. The wood, the fire, forest fire, so hot, it melted metal. It melted minerals, pardon me, and other things, and formed like a metal. Formed. I worked for U.S. Steel, Bethlehem Steel, U.S. Steel. I worked for those refineries as a welder. And first they had me pulling molds. That wasn't as a welder. That was a hot job I had. Yes. So, and I know something about steel industry, of steel making. I know something about that. And I'm sure that the coke and other things that you put together to make iron or steel, perhaps all of that was in the forest in some form. In some form. And the fire came, melted it, it came back and they found metal. Man, this is the story of how man discovered how to make metal tools. And especially weapons. First thing he wanted was a weapon. That's man, all right. Yeah. And also cook his food. They came in there and found animals that had been killed by the fire, burnt by the fire, but all the flesh wasn't destroyed. They smelled it. It smelled good. They took it. It tasted good. And they say that's how man started cooking his food. Cooking his meat. So all that was given to Adam. But the type science we have now, you have to have an orientation in your mind that says, I'm going to work on this, but I'm not going to let my thinking influence what I'm working on. I'm going to study how these things act and behave as I put them under certain experiments. And I'm going to let these things teach me what they are and how they can be changed by fire or by acids or by whatever the test is, you know, about bacteria, whatever the test is. And he listens and watches the experiment. And he doesn't let his own interests or his own feelings or even his fears or whatever come into the work. Keep himself out of the work. Now, that could not be given to man without God revealing to man. So these exact sciences, we are wrong when we give the world credit for these exact sciences. The world could not have gotten these exact sciences unless God communicated to man the power and utility that he's put in his creation for human use. Is there any proof in history for that? Yes. There were religious leaders before Islam. And most of the great scientific works and experiments were done by religious people, Christians. Christians. But something happened. And they lost it. They lost interest. When Muhammad the Prophet was born, intellectual interest almost had died in the whole world, known world. Scientific explorations, studies, etc., lost from the world. Wasn't going on anywhere. Allah revealed to Muhammad the Prophet the first five lines of Revelation, the first five lines of what he said to Muhammad is addressing the intelligence of the brain of the human being in its position to want to know and understand things. And God says to him, the first words he said to Muhammad, he said, read, in the name of your Lord who created. So God is saying to man, Muhammad, to read. And Muhammad didn't know what to read. I'm not a reader. I don't read scripture. I'm not a man of scripture. He was not. He didn't even belong to a religious order, any body of people that had scripture. Although scripture was available in the land of the Arabs, but it was very rare, very rare, hard to find a person who had a Bible or had even some knowledge of scripture that God had revealed. So Muhammad didn't know religion as such. So he was frightened by this new experience he was having. He didn't like it. Like Abraham, when he had a vision to sacrifice his son, he was frightened by that. He felt that God wanted him to do it too. He felt that he had to do it because God was inspiring him or guiding him to do it. But he was fearful, very fearful and afraid. So Muhammad, when God spoke to him, saying, read, I guess Muhammad said, I'm not interested in this religious stuff. I'm a businessman. I'm a practical man. I'm not spiritual. I ain't interested in that, you know. God, do I really have to get into this? And he started feeling chills. He was all shook up. Well, I didn't want to tell you that story. But it's there. We'll finish it some other time. Let's get back to the point. Science, true sciences, could not have been discovered, not even the interest to go after it, if it wasn't for God. God says in the Quran, and there are worlds that God made that you see, and worlds that you see not. So the Quran even said that there were invisible worlds. At the time, man didn't know that there was an invisible world of bacteria hadn't been discovered yet. Microbes and that thing hadn't been discovered. But later man finds a whole nother world of living things. Microscopic life or organism. It was not discovered before the Quran. Check your history, check your record. Okay? So when this came to Muhammad about creation, and read in the name of your Lord who created, I mean who made things, all things, you included. Don't forget how I started this. I said the Indians, the native Indians, believe that everything made has a message for man's intelligence and human mind. Okay? All right, don't forget that. Put it all together. Don't lose what I get you out of, don't let it slip out of place. Keep it all together. Okay, thank God. All right, now, also in the Quran, God says, everything that you see embodies knowledge. Everything seen or knowable embodies a knowledge, a science. The ilman. Yes, in the Arabic, what is ilma? You say science. Right now, there might be an Arabic speaking, native born Arabic speaking person in the audience. Sometimes there are when I speak. If there's any native born Arabic speaking person, Arabic is your language you're born with, stand so I can see you if you're here. Oh no, well, there's none here today. Too bad, fella, you're missing a lot. It's ilman, science, ilman, science. So everything embodies a science, higher knowledge, an ilman. In the time of Muhammad the Prophet, we didn't have all these sciences of the human life, but now you got sciences of the blood, science of the blood, science of the skin, and even different parts of the skin, science of the hair, science of everything, science of the eye, the different parts of the human eye, science of everything. Everything. We have it now. But it was said long before it was ever known by man. Said in the Quran, it's still there. 1400 and some years old. Where God says, وَسِعَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. You find it just like that in the Quran, that he has caused everything to be extended and expanded and to embody knowledge, a science. Muhammad the Prophet even associated his dream with science. He had a dream. He told the people his dream. He said, I had a dream. And in this dream, milk was oozing out of bones. And he said, what is the meaning of that dream? He said, science. Ilm. He said, science. Now, in our time, we know that calcium is needed if you're going to have bones. And calcium is also in the milk. And you have to drink milk and get your calcium in order to develop your bones, develop the human body in a good way. So we know that now. But Muhammad had it in a vision or dream over 1400 years ago. Or about 1400 years ago. See? I'm making progress. Don't think so. I won't be here as long as you think. I'll be gone. Inshallah, God willing. Now, so I'm saying my position to you is, and I'm not trying to impose anything on anybody. God knows that if you really wanna get rid of me, just let me know you're not interested. I'm gone. I don't want to give you anything you don't want. God knows that's the way I am. You can reject me, it doesn't hurt my feelings at all. Because I know you ain't the only one that rejects. You and a big crowd of people. So it ain't no new thing for me, it ain't gonna hurt my feelings. I just go on about my business. And we'll still love you. Still be your friend. You don't have to buy what I give you. I'll accept it. I'll still love you and still be your friend. But if you hate goodness, I'm not your friend. Yeah. But as long as you love goodness, you can reject me, and I'll still love you, and I'll still be your friend. All right. All right. Now, so we're on the second level. First level was the mortal body that Adam was in. He had to go two more steps, but he couldn't make it. Satan called him from step one and caused him to deviate. And our holy book says he had no intention to do that, so you can't call him a sinner. He was intending to do right, but he was led to believe he was doing right when he was doing wrong, following the Satan's suggestion. All right, so now what I'm going to say to you, I'm bringing it to the head. I'm bringing the second phase or level to the head. Jesus Christ represents so much to common church girl goers, but to the world of leadership and sciences, Jesus Christ is the guarded secret. Jesus Christ represents the doorway to the sciences. The doorway into the sciences. And the doorway into the structuring of an industrious, productive, moral, ethical world. Jesus Christ represents all that to them. Now, this might surprise you. Don't think that that science was known by the ancient people long time ago. Long before Muhammad the prophet. Long before Jesus Christ. Long before Moses, even Moses. Before even Moses. The ancient people of the world, and I don't think it was just Egypt, but Egypt, we know, they had great science. Before the world that we have been discussing had these sciences, the Egyptians, the ancient Egyptians, had these great sciences. And don't let Pharaoh, the bad Pharaoh, cause you to think that all those bad people had all that. They were not all bad. The Pharaoh was just one of the leaders. The Pharaoh that persecuted the Hebrews was just one of the leaders. That perhaps there were other bad ones, but in my study of the pharaohs, the dynasties of the pharaohs, Egyptian dynasties, they had very excellent people. They had long periods of peace and social excellence. So God blessed others with that. And Allah tells us that in Scripture. God tells us that in Scripture. I don't think he was the first and the only. Oh, there are nations long gone that he blessed. And they had works even greater than yours, some of them. This is told to us in Scripture by God. Okay, for I'm telling you that Jesus Christ does not represent only one that comes to tell the world, stop doing wrong, stop mistreating the weak people, stop loving each other, stop helping the little guy, come to the rescue of the weak and the suffering people. That's not the only Jesus. In fact, that Jesus is not a big deal. We have those people all the time in society, women and men, that love to do good. And if they see wrong, they want to tell you, no, don't do that. Don't be like that. Help that person. Don't treat them like that. And they would stop what they're doing. They'd come from what they're doing. Maybe they were going to an important meeting or something. They would actually stop, just like the Good Samaritan. In fact, that speaks more in to support what I'm saying than anything I could say to you. The Good Samaritan. Jesus pointed to a man that was already doing what they should do. He said the rabbis, meaning the religious leaders, and all had walked down that same road. And there was a man suffering, lying in the road, suffering. And they just walked around him. Say, some walked on the other side of the street, on the other side of the road, so they wouldn't be bothered. They wouldn't have their conscience bothered by him. And some, they didn't have a conscience at all. They would walk up, stay on the same side of the road, and walk right by him, do nothing for him, and he's suffering in the road. And Jesus Christ said, along came the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan said, came and had compassion on him. Samaritan is from Sumer, a place called Sumer. Sumer. So it's a name, he was named after a place, a city like, or area. He was named after that. He was called the Samaritan. Like you would say, along came the Chicagoan. Yeah, that's how Jesus Christ was speaking. Along came the Chicagoan. So he was said, along came Samaritan. That means a people, person that came from another town. Along came the Good Samaritan. He saw him and had compassion on him. And he took him and gave him his help. And he had to keep going because he had a destiny. He had a job too. He had to keep going. So he went and found somebody and asked them, charged them with. He went to like a rescue place. And he went there and he said, take care of this man. And when I return, I will pay you. So he said he would pay him. Now this is really deep. This is really deep. So what is it saying? First it's saying that that world that Jesus Christ came into, it was unconscious, filled with people that had lost their moral sensitivity. Their original, pure, and innocent moral sensitivity was lost. And they were just seeing suffering and just passing by with no attention at all. And here comes this man from Samaritan, a different area. He comes through their area, and he has compassion on the suffering person in the road. That's what it's saying on the surface. But what does it also say? Because it says he promised that he was coming back. It's saying that that same nature, that same makeup, moral makeup, is in Jesus Christ. But he's using another figure to point to something that's in himself. He's teaching and using another figure. But he's the one teaching. He's the one that's trying to change things. But he points to another figure. But he's, if you can go with me a little more, a little deeper. But he's also saying something that will miss most of the educated in religion. He's saying, your goodness is not originally your goodness. Your goodness is divine goodness. It is put in you from God. So he can guarantee that you're going to get help. Because it's not him alone that's doing this. He's an instrument. The Good Samaritan is the instrument of God. Like in Islamic teaching sciences, the human being, the whole human family with all our abilities and all of our tools of whatever, says we are nothing but like one hand of God. So God has one hand doing things, and the whole human race is nothing like this one hand. Then he has another hand that's taking care of the non-human creation, stars and planets and earth and all the material, inanimate and animate living things. He's taking care of all that with one hand, and he's taking care of human life and human affairs with the other hand. You're acting just as his hand. Just as his hand. All of us together represent nothing but his one hand. Isn't that something? Yeah, that's something. Yeah. So it's a description given in metaphor. Metaphor, using pictures to teach us, you know, because God has no hand like this. You put all of human beings together, they don't look like that hand. They look like millions of human beings. But that's God's hand, according to that teaching, which is to tell us that just like we use one hand, God used the whole human family, all human beings. He's using all human beings just like we use one hand. And that would be our right hand. Because human beings are building things and doing delicate work and healing and operating on the performing surgeries. So that must be his right hand, huh? But look what God says in another place in the scripture. He says to Satan, why you don't accept my special human that I made with my two hands? In one place, he says all the human world is just like his one hand. But in another place, he said when he was making his certain special human being, he used both his hands, both the inanimate, the natural world, and the human being and human life. He used both human life, conscious human life, and inanimate world, all the natural world, and brought them together and reconciled their purpose in the mind of his special creature, so that he used his creation as it should be used to benefit all human beings. Wonderful. Yes, so Jesus Christ is much more than you think he is. Much more than you think he is. He's a sign, a mystery, and a sign of wondrous things. This idea of the person embodying science, the sciences, the knowledge, and being the guide for others, or the doorway for others, it goes back to ancient Egypt. And a myth or story. The great Osiris, O-S-I-R-U-S, I think it's spelled. The great Osiris was credited with being Lord over all the people. He was deceived by his daughter. His daughter deceived him and caused his death. And his son, who was a bad son, got possession of his body, the dead body. And he took the dead body and dismembered it in many pieces. And he put it, hid it under trees and in different places. He scattered it all over the known world and hid portions of his body everywhere. Now, to make this interpretation very short for you, God is one. His creation is one. Everything, as the scientist tells us, everything is related. And everything comes under one law, though for each thing is a separate law, sometimes many laws for others. But there's a one law over all the things, universal law. The universal law affects everything that's in it. So all things are tied together by the rule of law that God made for those things when he created them. It's in them. It's in their nature to do that. So the world will take us back to the wholeness of truth. It will take us back to the wholeness of education, to the wholeness of knowledge. They give us the education of government, of civic education, of city, the education of government. They give us the education of culture. They give us the education of medicine. They give us all these different branches of education, thousands of different fields or branches of, et cetera, areas of knowledge. And they give them to us, and they invite you to come and study them as though your area is not connected to other areas.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.